With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. In a win for AT&T and Time Warner, a federal appeals court has rejected a challenge from the Justice Department upholding the nearly $80 billion deal that closed last year. We'll have more details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell concluded his first of 2 days of testimony before lawmakers on Tuesday. Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos says questioning focused on bank regulation and workforce trends, and the topic of interest rates came up very little.
He was barely asked about interest rates at all, which is sort of surprising because, first of all, he is the Fed chairman. Second, the Fed raised interest rates 4 times last year, which was a lot compared to prior years. And third, the Fed has just signaled that they might be done raising interest rates for now, and really no one seemed concerned, or if they had any concerns, were, you know, making those vocal at the hearing.
Timiraos said Powell did speak more about the Fed's patient approach to interest rate hikes this year toward the end of the hearing, signaling the Fed is on hold for at least the next few months. Powell will be back on Capitol Hill on Wednesday to answer more questions from lawmakers. And President Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen is expected to be grilled by lawmakers on Wednesday when he testifies publicly before the House Oversight Committee. The Wall Street Journal's William Strobel says expect fireworks.
It's not too much of a stretch to say Wednesday could be somewhat of a historic moment. You have one of the president's former closest advisors testifying for the first time before Congress against him. And Michael Cohen, as we were told, is expected to accuse the president of possible criminal conduct while in office, of shady business practices, and of making racist remarks over a long period in private.
Cohen is expected to face questions about hush money payments he made to women during the 2016 presidential campaign. President Trump has denied sexual encounters with the women. He's also denied ordering Cohen to arrange the payments to them. A federal judge has given Tesla chief executive Elon Musk until March 11th to answer claims from federal regulators that his recent tweets violated a settlement he reached with the Securities and Exchange Commission last year. In a late Monday filing, the SEC argued Musk violated a condition that required the company to pre-approve any statements Musk made that could potentially move markets. The settlement was reached late last year after Musk tweeted that he was thinking about taking Tesla private. Walmart is hoping to attract more of the online advertising market. The Wall Street Journal reports that the world's largest retailer is working to bring its digital ad business in-house and have its store and digital ad teams work more closely together. Walmart is expanding its online and grocery sales and hoping to mount a bigger challenge to Amazon. The journal reports that the company's CEO also wants more revenue streams for the business. Coming up, we'll talk more about a federal appeals court ruling in favor of AT&T and Time Warner. A federal appeals court has ruled in favor of AT&T and Time Warner, rejecting a second attempt by government antitrust officials to break up the more than $80 billion merger that closed last year. Joining us now from Washington with more on what the ruling means for consumers is Wall Street Journal reporter Brent Kendall. Brent, this was the second attempt by antitrust enforcers to oppose the deal, arguing it would stifle competition, but the court didn't buy that argument, and this ended up being a pretty big loss for the Justice Department.
It was a big loss for the Justice Department. I mean, the outcome was what most people expected. This case has not gone well for the DOJ pretty much from the outset. And by the time an appeals court gets to hear one of these things, they can only throw out what a trial court has done if the trial court made serious, clear errors. And the court said, you know, the trial court made some problematic statements in this case, but on the whole, much of what it said when it ruled for AT&T was not an abuse of discretion and was supported by the evidence, and so therefore AT&T wins.
AT&T and Time Warner have already merged, but they had agreed to some temporary rules amid the legal challenge. So what does Tuesday's ruling mean immediately for the two companies?
Well, AT&T had already, you know, been moving forward with the Time Warner assets, but this case, because it was still being litigated, basically just hung like a cloud over what they were doing. This removes most, if not all, legal uncertainty that is left. You know, an unwinding of a merger would have been pretty messy. And so it had agreed to these temporary rules that would have made that possible had they lost, you know, in later stages of the litigation. But with this ruling, I mean, AT&T can pretty much put this chapter behind them. I mean, they own Time Warner. They can now pretty much move forward and do what they want as a combined company. I mean, in theory, the Justice Department could seek review from the Supreme Court, but the odds of that happening are extremely unlikely. And, you know, the High Court only hears about 75 cases a year. And the DOJ, now having lost twice, may not have any really strong arguments to make for the Supreme Court intervening.
Now, we are facing more consolidation in this space, AT&T and Time Warner, and also Disney's acquisition of 21st Century Fox's entertainment assets come to mind. What impact will this consolidation have on consumers when it comes to their choices and the prices they pay?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on who you ask. I mean, the Disney-Fox deal was a little bit different because you're talking about combining content with content, you know, and the argument there, I guess, is that there's still plenty of content in the marketplace, arguably more than there's ever been, because you do have Netflix and Hulu and all sorts of different kinds of services offering people ways to watch, you know, video programming than they didn't have before. In this case, what the department was focused on was basically what's called a vertical theory. They were concerned that AT&T, you know, owning DirecTV and its own U-verse pay TV service, that, you know, because they were a big player already in providing pay TV services, if they also owned the content, that would be problematic because they'd have a strong position on both sides of the ledger there. And so the theory as it went was that, you know, AT&T could make, say, Dish Network or Comcast or Verizon or anybody else that offers pay TV, you know, make them pay more for Turner's programming. These are the Time Warner Turner networks like CNN and TNT. And that, you know, if the Comcasts and Verizons of the world wouldn't pay up, then they could just black out the Turner networks on those services. And then those people would jump over to DirecTV, which would have a benefit to AT&T. But AT&T always argued that at the end of the day, that would be a losing strategy for them because they'd be better off and would make more money if the Turner networks were widely distributed as opposed to if they weren't, because advertisers aren't going to pay big dollars to run commercials on networks that are only seen on part of the country. And at the end of the day, the courts bought that argument.
Plus, there are challenges from other pay TV services like Dish Network.
They testified before the Justice Department in this case. And, you know, the Justice Department still believes that their merger challenge was correct, and they point to some of the developments between Dish and AT&T after the merger was consummated. You know, we now have for the first time HBO, which was a Time Warner entity, which is now owned by AT&T, being blacked out on Dish as well as Dish's online Sling TV in a dispute over how much Dish should have to pay for that network. And, you know, there'd never been a blackout of this nature in the history of HBO, and there was testimony at trial that HBO would never go dark on any of these pay TV providers. And so, you know, the Justice Department and its supporters point to that as already a real-world effect from the merger. You know, if you talk to AT&T on this, they argue that, you know, Dish is basically trying to exploit the litigation for its own leverage and advantage here, and that's why we ended up in a blackout situation. But there still are tensions here, and you know, Dish is at the center of those.
It sounds like it still is a contentious arena, as you say. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Brent Kendall joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Brent.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.